Now, in chapter 2, we begin now the building of the temple. And we find here Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for the kingdom. Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, 40,000 to hew in the mountains, 3,600 to oversee them. Now, the temple that David had set up to build, the blueprints all laid out. Now, Solomon begins the organization to build the temple. Now, this is the part of the reign of Solomon that God emphasizes. Nothing else but this. We read, and Solomon went to Hiram, the king of Tyre, saying, as thou didst deal with David, my father, did send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Hiram loved David. David loved Hiram. And on that basis, Solomon appeals to him. Now, Solomon had problems with Hiram. Or, let me turn it around, I think Hiram had problems with Solomon. He had been very generous with David. But he finds that Solomon is difficult to deal with. Verse 4, behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, for the burnt offering morning and evening, on the Sabbath, on the new moons, on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And you could just put that down. And there's been criticism of why the sacrifices will be restored in the millennium, because God ordained. That is answer enough. But, of course, they will be meaningful. They'll point back, I think, to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 5, and the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. What is it that makes a thing great? What makes a man great? What makes a nation great? What makes a church great? God, my friend. And that is something else we're losing sight of today. Now, we're told, verse 6, Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. They're certainly not prodigal in their sacrifices. And you'll notice all the way through the abundance that was in existence in Solomon's day. Now, verse 7, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now, God's made good a promise not only to David, but a promise he made to Abraham. Your offspring will be like the dust. Can't number them. God has said, they've reached the place now, I don't want you to take the census. It was the sin of David. Verse 10, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? Now, there are those that say, oh, my Solomon was so smart to think of asking for wisdom. And God gave him credit for that. But where did he get the idea? Now, again, let's go back to 1 Chronicles 22:12, and here, David is speaking to Solomon. Back in verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 22, we read, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house in the name of the Lord my God. Then he goes on to explain, he was a bloody man, God would not permit him. Now he says, verse 11, now my son, the Lord be with thee and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God as he hath said. Now, will you notice what he goes on to say here? And that's pretty important. Verse 12, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding and give thee charge concerning Israel. Now, at least Solomon was listening to his father. You can give him credit for that. He was listening to David. David says to him, oh, may God give you wisdom. Now, when God says, what do you want, Solomon? Solomon says, I need wisdom. My dad, David, knew I needed wisdom, and I want wisdom. God gives him credit for it, though. God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, and honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Now God says, I'm going to give you that wisdom. And now that was wisdom. Actually, it was not spiritual discernment. It was wisdom to rule as king. And he had that wisdom. Let me move down to verse 15. And the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem as plenteous as stone, and cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. The sycamore tree grows over there today, and you don't see many cedar trees. And he tells him he wanted to make cedar trees like sycamore trees, and that silver and gold was like stone. Have you ever been to that land and seen pictures of it? There are more rocks, more stones in that land than any place I've ever been. I tell you, it's amazing. And now, gold and silver become just as commonplace as those stones. You see, this man now inherits a kingdom. And it's difficult for us today to really understand all that David had done, all that he gathered there for the building of the temple. And they brought out of Egypt, we're told, verse 17, they fetched up and brought forth out of Egypt a chariot for 600 shekels of silver, horse for 150. So brought they out horses for all the kings of the Hittites, for the kings of Syria, by their means. Solomon is getting in an area now where he should not be. He was told not to multiply horses. He does. Verse 7, send me now, therefore, a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and in purple and crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. You see, they had to get the skilled workmen from the outside. Israel had turned to agriculture. God intended them to be an agricultural people, and they were in that day. And the interesting thing is, when they go back to that land today, I travel from one end of it to the other, all the way from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. And they are given over to agriculture today. And some of the finest farms I've ever seen are in that land. I do not believe there's land anywhere any richer than the Valley of Esdraelon, where Megiddo is. It is certainly a rich country. Now, the nation Israel at this time did not have artificers or artisans, and they had to call upon Hiram for that. And Solomon says, send me also cedar trees, fir trees. These cedar trees were the cedars of Lebanon, and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon. And behold, my servant shall be with thy servant. In other words, they're to learn from these people. Now he says, verse 9, even to prepare me timber in abundance for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great. It was not large, but great. The whole I'll give to thy servants, the hewers that cut timber, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat. Now, there was a misunderstanding relative to that amount that Solomon was to pay later on. But apparently, a great deal of wealth was to go into this. Now, verse 11, then Hiram the king of Tyre answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Hiram said, moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build a house for the Lord and a house for the kingdom. And now I've sent a cunning man, endued with understanding of Hiram my father. And then he goes on to describe this one that he's sending. Now we find in verse 17, And Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel, after the numbering wherewith David his father numbered them, and they were found 150,000, 3,600. He set 70,000 of them to be bearers of burden. These were to be helpers, you see. These were to be the ones that would help the stonemasons and so on.